So you have your Bibles, you're over in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 45 by now. And something that I feel inspired to share with you today is this thought that we are to serve. And so let's read this verse. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. We are to serve. In case you haven't noticed, and I think that you have noticed, the world that we're living in is a needy world. There are a lot of people out there. In fact, most people have some kind of a need in their life. There's a situation in their life where they need help. They're looking for help. They turn to this one. They turn to that one. They look to this. They look to that. A lot of times we have what it is that they need. Now, yes, of course, we have Jesus, but we have our gifts, we have our talents, we have our abilities, and we should be a people, as a people of God, that are out there to serve others, that we are out there to serve our community, to help in whatever way that we can. And even at your place of employment, it's not like, oh, this is a job and I'm just here to put my time in and I could be making, you know, doing something better with my time. When you're there with your employer, you are there to serve them. You are there to help them. And we should be out there and have that attitude within our heart that I am out to make everybody's day better that I come in contact with today. I don't want to be the kind of person that, and when people see me coming or after I'm with them and they leave, they're like, they see you coming, they're like, oh, great, here they come. I wonder what kind of problems and issues they're having today. And then when you go away, they're like, wow, I'm glad they're gone from me. I don't want to be the kind of person when I'm walking down the street and someone's coming up and they spot me that they purposely will avoid me and go to the other side of the street because I'm not going to have anything to offer them. I'm not going to have any hope to get them, to give them. This world's already hopeless enough. We don't have to be putting hopeless thoughts within people. We should be a people that others want to be around. And how is that? We are there to serve them. I am here to make your day better in any way that I can. And sometimes you might be able to say that to somebody, and other times, instead of saying it, you just do those little things. You're there to serve them. You're there to help them. And Jesus was that way when he was here upon this earth. The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto. He didn't come to be served. He didn't come so that people could serve him and wait on him. Although he is the King of Kings, he is the Lord of Lords, he is and was God in the flesh while he was here upon this earth, he didn't come so that we would just serve him every whim and every wham. We would just be there for him. Oh, you need a cup of water, you need this, you need that, you need this. He came to minister unto others, but it says he came but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. He came to minister. He came to serve. What's your purpose in life? What's your purpose in life? Are you one that's there that think that people should wait on you? And then there's an expression that some use, some might find it offensive. And in the society that we're living today, and everything is supposed to be so politically correct whenever we say it. But I've heard the expression before, there's some people that are just bottom feeders. You know what bottom feeders are? They're the ones that are just out there looking for the handouts, looking for people to serve them, looking for what somebody can do for them, to what program can help them. They're never there to help others. We should be a kind of people that are there to help others. And when you are served, amen, when you are served, other people do things for you. And it's okay at times that somebody does something for you. Don't ever be that one. No, 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 you don't have to do that for me. Here, let me hold the door open for you. No, you don't need to hold that door open for me. Let me do this for you. Let me run you to this place. Let me do this errand for you. But when you are served, other people do things for you. Jesus came in this world to minister to you. Okay? He came into this world to minister to you, not for you to do things for him. Although we serve him, he didn't come into this world so that we would do things for him. He came into this world to minister to you and to me. I think of the occasion whenever he washed his disciples' feet. It was very customary back in that time. I don't know if it still is in Israel today, but it was a very dusty country at that time, and they wore sandals and their feet would dirty, and it was customary to, when you go into somebody's house, that your feet would be washed. And he bent down that one time to wash the disciples' feet. And I think it was Peter that rose up against him. And he says, "Not so, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet." And then Jesus had a little conversation with him and convinced him that it was okay. He says, "Don't only wash my feet, but wash my face also. Wash my head and my face also." Jesus came to serve. We should be here in this world to serve others, to help others. What is it we can do to make life better for other people? Jesus lived to serve. Jesus had a focus. He had a mission. And his focus in this life was to serve his Father, was to do the will of him that sent me. And that's in John chapter 4 and verse 34. My food is to do the will of him that sent me. He had a focus in his life here upon this earth. Do you have a focus? Your life, the purpose, the reason that you're living, what's your focus today? Your focus today should be to do the will of the Father. What is it that the Father wants me to do today? I believe there's something that He wants us to do every single day. Amen. And so as Jesus was focused on doing the will of His Father, amen, He was not focused on doing what he wanted to do. Too many of us, myself included, we are focused on what am I going to do today? What do I have planned for tomorrow? What do I have planned for next week? And we don't focus on the will of the Father. God, what is it that you want me to do today? What is it that you want me to do tomorrow? Because perhaps there's times where it is the will of God that he wants you to go and speak to somebody. He'll lay somebody hard upon your heart. You'll just have an impression in your mind. Just somebody comes into your mind you haven't thought about for a long time. You can't get them out of your mind. You need to see what the will of the Father is. Why is it, Lord, that they're so heavy on my mind today? Amen. We need to take them to the Lord in prayer. Follow the leading of the Spirit. Perhaps they're in a great need that you don't even know about. Amen. God wants us to serve and to help others. And as we've heard this morning of an accident down in the Jake Rocks area. And now, just as an example, I'm not saying it happened. But if any of those people there have any acquaintances of them that are Christian folks, perhaps God laid an impression upon one of their friends' minds real heavy that they're in some kind of a need. They just couldn't get them out of their mind. They didn't know that they was in some kind of a terrible accident, but the impression just comes. You know, you need to pray for them. You can't get them out of your mind. Take them to the Lord in prayer, and then later on they'll find out, well, they was in an accident. They needed prayer. God works that way. Amen. We're the family of God. We're fitly joined together. And a lot of times we think it's just material things. It's just, you know, I'm physically sick or I need this material blessing. But many times there is a spiritual warfare that is going on in our midst, within ourselves and within others around us. And I don't necessarily express it if I'm having a spiritual warfare going on. But as an example this morning, God could lay upon your heart the need, the pastor. You can't get the pastor out of your mind today. Something's going on. There's a spiritual warfare going on. God might lay another Christian or brother or sister in your mind today. Something's going on. You don't know what it is. You follow the leading of the Spirit. Sometimes God might want you to follow it up with a visit or a phone call. But a lot of times that person will come to mind and you'll just think, well, they're not physically sick. They're doing okay financially. It appears everything's going good for them. I don't know why I can't get them out of my mind today. Maybe there's a spiritual warfare going on. Amen. And God's calling His army to prayer, to batten the hatches, as they used to say in the war times. He's calling people to prayer. And how many times are we tune with God? And we don't look at that as serving others, but that is serving others. Amen. If you're going to get to heaven, amen, it's with the help of God, but we also need the help of each other. Amen. We're in this warfare together. When they go into a natural war, all those soldiers, they need the other soldier. It's not just one soldier that wins the war. It's each of them that does their own part. Amen. That they've been hired to do in that army, whatever division of the armed forces that it is. The victory is got together. It's not one that gets the victory. And it's the same way for us spiritually. We have spiritual wins. Amen. We have physical healings. We have financial blessings. We have times that the evil forces are driven out of our life. And we think, oh, what a victory that was. But you didn't do it yourself. Amen. It's others that God have employed amen, into that army and have called them to prayer. And they've been praying and they've been fasting, amen, that the chains of darkness that can be broken, that the spiritual wickedness in high places can be broken, and you can win those spiritual battles. You're not in this battle alone. Although you may be alone, there might not be any other Christian or brothers or sisters around. And you think, man, I don't know how long I can take this. The pressure's on. It sure isn't easy for me. Amen. God can lay you on the heart of another Christian or brother, another Christian brother or sister, and in that way they are serving the Lord. God has called us to serve in His army. There's something that He wants each one of us to do. Many times we look at it too much in a job. Well, I don't cut the grass. I don't shovel the snow. I don't clean the church. I don't teach youth. I don't teach a Sunday school class. I don't drive the bus. I don't stand behind the pulpit. I don't do this or that. And we begin to think that we don't have anything to do in God's army, but we are all called to serve. Amen. And I can guarantee you the majority of the time, amen, when we serve in God's army, He's going to call us to prayer. Amen. He's going to call us to pray for one another, to uplift one another. Amen. To be an encouragement one to another. So Jesus, He was very focused on doing the will of His Father, doing the will of His Father. And many times we're so focused on doing what we want to do. That's natural. I understand it. You have a list of chores and activities and things that need to get done. It's easy to focus on those, but what is the will of the Father for you this week coming up? Amen. This is the first day of the week, and so we have Monday through Saturday. What's the will of the Father for you this week? Jesus, amen, He wasn't stuck on Himself. Amen. It wasn't all about Him, all about His comfort, all about what He wanted. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 20 that Jesus didn't even have a place to lay His head. Amen. And I interpret that to mean that Jesus didn't have a dwelling place. He didn't have a place that He called home. Didn't have a place to lay His head. If He was focused on getting things for Himself, He would find a nice abode for Himself, a nice comfortable place where He could take His ease and get away from the crowds. In fact, when Jesus wanted to get away from the crowds, He was doing the will of the Father. What would He do to get away from the crowds? He would go into a mountain apart, away from all the people, into a secret place, and He would pray, and He would commune with His Heavenly Father. Maybe many times when we're feeling that burnout, amen, where people say that I need to take this day off of work because I forget what they used to call it where I worked. I had just been sharing this with somebody the other day. But I need one of these days where I'm just going to get it together again. Amen. Instead of us taking a day off and taking our ease and sitting in our easy chair and doing our thing that we think is going to bring relaxation, maybe what we need to do is find a place of prayer. Amen. And get down on our knees and get back in a good communion with God and talk to Him. And that old song comes to mind. Amen. Just a little talk with Jesus will make it right. But when we're in the midst of something, we don't think that little talk with Jesus is going to make it right. Man, Pastor, you don't understand. All of this stuff going on in my life, I got to talk to somebody about it. I got to get away. I got to have a break from this. I need to have a stress-free day. Jesus didn't look at it that way. Amen. He didn't even have a place to lay His head. And when He got the terrible news that His cousin John the Baptist had been beheaded, if you'll remember that story, not very long after He got that news, Jesus went alone into a place and He prayed. Amen. He prayed because He felt the pressures of life coming against Him. He was flesh and blood like we were when He was here upon this earth. How would you like to get the news that one of your first cousins was beheaded? Oh, well, that's too bad for him. God rest his soul. You wouldn't act like that. It would be a moving thing to you. Jesus was moved by that. He was moved with emotion. And He went into that place. He didn't go out striking against those people that did that against Him because He knew it was a spiritual warfare that was going on. But He was doing the will of the Father. We need to be that way. Jesus, when He was here, He ministered. He served, and He reached out to a world that was in need, and you and I, we need to minister, we need to serve, we need to reach out to a world that is in need. There
There are people in this community that we live in that are in need. You need to reach out to them in whatever way that you can. You need to be there to serve them. You need to be there to minister unto them, to help make their life a little bit better than what it is. Yeah, but they'll reject it. Well, at least you tried. If they reject your help, they reject your help. But we need to show the love of Christ. Well, Pastor, you don't understand. I show the love of Christ because I pray for all those people. You know, I pray for them all the time that God will help them. Maybe God wants you to be the one to help them. Amen. In the situation that they're in. So when Jesus was here, he ministered, he served, and he reached out to a world in need. Amen. He poured himself out helping others. And many times, he was moved with a compassion. And that compassion that we talk about is a pity. He poured himself out helping others. He was moved with compassion when he seen different things. And he was there to serve and to help them. Jesus said in his word, he told us, we could look at it as a commandment. He said, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely you have received, freely give. How's that working in your life? Well, if you're serving others, that's going to work. That's going to help. Amen. You're going to see a need of another one. Jesus saw a woman one time who was in a funeral procession and she was taking her only son. She was a widowed woman. She needed that son to care for her, yet he died and she was taking him out. The funeral procession was going on and Jesus stopped that funeral procession. He was moved with compassion. He was moved with pity on that woman. And you can't tell me there's not times and situations that you hear about, you read about, that you just feel a pity for the situation that an individual is in. And you just feel like there's nothing that I can do to help them. Amen. That pity, we can turn it into a word called compassion. And when Jesus had pity and compassion on someone, he followed it with an action. He did something to help them. Amen. And he went to that woman and her only son, and he raised him from the dead. Jesus at another time was moved with pity and compassion when his friend Lazarus died and he was 3 days or 4 days late in getting there. He's already been buried. He's been dead for 4 days and he got here late and he seen the people mourning and weeping and crying and sort of laughed at him when he said he but sleepeth. They couldn't understand it, but Jesus was moved with a pity on them because of the faith that they didn't have. Amen. Pity and compassion should rise up within us at times. And when Jesus run into those situations, he poured himself out to others. Amen. We need to be poured out like wine upon the altar for me. Amen. The song says, will you be broken like bread to feed the hungry? Amen. Will you be so one in me that I can do as I will? Amen. And the song goes on with some other nice words. Amen. But we need to be poured out upon the altar for him. Have you poured your all out before God today? God, whatever it is, whatever you want from me, you got it today. Lord, I'm your servant. And listen, God's not going to expect you to do something that you're not capable of doing. You'll think, man, if I say that, it's a dangerous prayer. He's going to have this big expectation that I can't do. Your Heavenly Father's not going to expect something of you that you can't do. Just as you are with your children, you don't expect them to do things that they can't do. Amen. The Oakses are raising a young man there. He's soon going to be 5 years old. They don't give him the task of mopping the floors. How would that work out? That would turn into a disaster. I guarantee you the floors wouldn't be mopped. They'd be flooded. It wouldn't work. God's not going to ask you to do something that he knows you don't have the ability to do or the wherewithal to do it, because it would turn into a disaster. And so we can rest in the fact of whatever it is that I feel that God wants me to do, he has equipped me. He has given me the ability to do, to serve others. Amen. And as you feel the Spirit of God moving upon you, you need to follow in the Spirit of God. In Matthew chapter 14 and verse 14, there was another time here where Jesus was moved with compassion. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. He saw this great multitude, and there were just so many sick people. There were so many needs. And we look into this world today, and we see people with so much sickness. We see people with so many needs. We see so many people. In reality, they're being controlled by demonic forces and the forces of evil, and it just tears our heart apart, and they're not who they really are. The things that they're saying and doing, we recognize that as the enemy working within them. And Jesus, when he saw this with them, he was moved with the pity toward them, and he healed their sick. And so when you look at the world around you, and you are moved with the pity and with the compassion, the hopeless situation that there is, that they're in, the least you can do is take it to the Lord in prayer. God, help in this situation. Intervene in this situation. And what I do with people that seem to be so cold against God, I've heard people make remarks before, and they'll say this, they're self-proclaimed. But they'll say, I'm an atheist. I don't even believe that there's a God. And they make statements like that. And it moves me. It hurts me to hear people say something. I don't immediately say something to them unless I would feel inspired by God to do it. But what you can do in those situations, you can then go to prayer. You're moved with a pity because they don't understand. And you can say, God, whatever it is that you have to do to reveal yourself to them, do that thing in their life so they'll have no doubt that there is a God in heaven. There is a God that created this world and he is in complete control. Just because they deny your existence, we know that that doesn't change the fact that you do exist. But we need to pour ourselves out to others. And so we can follow Jesus through the Gospels. You can follow him through the gospel. He daily poured himself out to the disciples and to the crowds. Look at how much he poured himself out to Peter. More than one time. And don't get confused when you read the gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You know, if it talks about the incidences with Peter in Matthew, Mark might be talking about the same incident. Luke might be about the same incident and so on and so forth, and you'll think, man, Peter was always in trouble. Not necessarily, but Jesus was very patient with him. He was very, very patient with him. And so we can follow Jesus through the Gospels, and he daily poured himself out to the disciples and to the crowds. When a human need faced him, he helped them. He did not walk away from any human need that he faced. He was with the human need one time. They were out. There was a crowd of at least 5,000. I think that was women and children. And there was a human need that was going on there. It was evening time. They had been with them all day and hadn't eaten yet. Jesus just didn't walk away from it and say, well, they're going to have to go fend for themselves. He tended to that need that they had. Amen. With those two fishes and three loaves or vice versa, however it was. And that was on more than one occasion that he did that. He didn't walk away from any human need that he faced. And I put that challenge out to you today. When you face somebody that's in a need, when you face a human need that somebody has, my challenge to you today is don't walk away from that and say, well, I'm sorry to hear that. There's nothing I can do to help you. What kind of a gospel do you have living in you? What kind of a Jesus do you have living in you? Jesus never did that to anybody. Anybody that came to need, amen, came to him in need with any kind of a human need, he helped them. He didn't walk away. We feel so hopeless and helpless, we just think there's nothing I can do to help. In and of yourselves, you can do nothing. But Jesus in you, he can help you. He can give you a plan. Don't walk away from a human need. You might not be able to help them yourself, but you can point them in the direction where they can get the help that they need. Amen. In the world, in the society that we're living today, there's so much help out there. But if somebody needs salvation, you need to be able to them to the Lord. Don't walk away from them. Don't say, well, you know, you need to come down to the church sometime. My pastor can talk to you. Amen. Because when salvation is knocking on somebody's door, they need to accept him at that time. We're talking about serving others. Jesus comforted those who were in sorrow. What do we have a tendency to do? It's either one or the other. There are some people that are just driven to sorrowful things. They just love to go to funeral homes. They just love to talk about disasters. They just love to talk about death. They just love to talk about suicide. That's just like the greatest thing for them. They're just drawn to that. But Jesus, he comforted those that were in sorrow. He offered comfort unto them. We should be able to do that too. Remember, we're talking about we are to serve. We are in the Lord's army. We comfort those that are in sorrow. Jesus spent time with children. He spent time with children. He didn't kick the children out. He was there to serve the children too. That his own disciples didn't quite understand that.
Can you bring these waters up here? I got stuck and open. Maybe you did open it for me.
Wow, that's pretty good. I like that. Okay. He comforted those in sorrow, and he spent time with children. He was there to serve. I even need help in this area. I know I do. We got to remember this. Children are being taught manners. They don't know manners unless they're taught. And when I'm in conversation with somebody and a little child comes up behind me and poking me, I'm like, excuse me, I'm talking. I need to understand that's a child. And I need to take time with that child. Maybe teach them a little bit of manner, but not just push them off. We need to take time with children. They mean a lot to us. They meant a lot to Jesus. We are there to serve. And in the little get-together that we had yesterday for my retirement, and this is nothing against any of you because I'm going to refer to a child. There was a child there that came and sat beside me, and that child asked more questions than any of the adults that were there asked me. It was just a good conversation I had with them. I could have thought, that's just a child. I'm not going to waste my time with them. But hopefully I was an inspiration to them. We are there to serve. Jesus spent time with children. And think of this in John. I'm turning over there. You can if you want to. Remember, we're talking about serving. John chapter 19, when Jesus was on the cross and he was dying, he did something really special. He was there to serve. Even when he was dying, he was close to drawing his last breaths, and he knew it. He cared about his mother. He cared about his mother. He was there to serve. He wasn't thinking like, oh, pity, poor me. I'm about to leave this earth. I'm about to die. I'm going to come in, give my spirit unto the Father. This is just such a terrible thing. I don't want to leave this world. He was concerned about his mother. In John chapter 19, and we start at verse 25, the other disciple therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, I might be in the wrong chapter. You see, 25 through 29. That's not the one that I wanted. The one that I wanted, I got the wrong scripture there. John 19? John 19. I said 19, and maybe I don't know what I said. Amen. John 19, 25. That's where we are. And so Jesus is on the cross talking about serving others. His dying moment, he knew it was coming. It wasn't all about him. You know, come and pity me. Come and pity me. Come hold my hand. I'm about to depart this world. I'm about to leave. Now, there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother, remember, he's in the process of dying. He saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, which is presumed to be John, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Look at me, mother, look at me. And then he saith to the disciple, behold, who is John? Behold thy mother, look at my mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own house. And this Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. And then they come and brought him vinegar, and that he refused it. But when he was dying on the cross, he cared for his mother. We are to care for other people. We are to serve other people. Jesus, when he came, and what kind of news do you come with? You can follow it through the Gospels. When Jesus came, he always came with hope. He came with good news, and he came with words of life. When people see you coming, do they think, I want to stay around? They're such an inspiration to talk to. Anytime I talk with them a little bit, I always feel so much better when they go away. And if that's the case, then you are serving others. But if it's the case of, like I alluded to already, they see you coming, they'll go way out of their way to avoid you. They don't want to be around you. Why? Because you're not coming with any hope. You're coming with bad news. You're not coming with good news. You're not coming with words of life. You're coming with words of death and doom and despair and how terrible it is. And, oh, I hear you have this diagnosis. Well, let me tell you, I know somebody that had the same diagnosis and they only lived for 3 weeks. What kind of hope is that? Amen. We are to serve other people. That may be true what you're saying, but Jesus always came with hope and good news and words of life. He came into this world for us. He didn't come into this world for himself. He didn't need to come into this world. Jesus in Luke 22, 27 said, I am among you as one who serves. In that song, and I thought about it when teaching was going on this year at camp meeting in the morning, Amen. To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, so meek and lowly, so humble and holy. All I ask is to be like Him. I'm not going to be just like Him, but if I could reflect Him in some way, if I could get that right sometimes in my life, to be like Him. Amen. He came to serve. His life wasn't for Himself. His life was for us. He came to serve. Your life isn't your own. And you can read that in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20. Your life is not your own. You've been bought with a price. Jesus puts you in this world for a purpose and a reason. What's that? To serve others. To help others. Life is hard. Life is not easy. It's a heavy load that a lot of people are carrying. They don't have to carry that alone. We are there to serve them. His death wasn't for Himself. His death was for us. His ascension, that wasn't for Himself. That was for us. And His second coming isn't for Himself, it's for us. It's all about serving. We need to live to serve God and to serve others. If Sister Oaks can come up to the piano, let's sing that song, "To Be Poured Out Like Wine Upon the Altar for Thee." And so the focus of today is we need to be focused. We need to have a goal. And what should your goal and your focus be? Is to please God. If you're going to please the Father, I'm going to please God. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Amen. And in closing of this part, let's sing that song. I'm sure you know all the words to it. I think I know most of them. But this is what we need to be. We need to be poured out like wine upon the altar for Him. We need to be broken like bread to feed the hungry. Everybody do what it is that you're able to do. And we're able to serve others. We're able to make this life a little bit easier for somebody else. That's the will of God. Jesus did that. Look at all the people that He healed, the blind eyes that He opened, the lame that were healed, all the wonderful did. He was giving those people a better life. And Jesus says, "These works shall ye do," referring to what He did, "and greater." Whatever that means, we're going to do greater than what He did. But we need to be poured out like wine upon the altar for Him so that we can serve others. Oh, hallelujah.